Well, good morning, East Tennessee. This is Lenny Lawson.
And this is Abby Lawson.
Yes, Abby has decided to participate in this edition of My Car Guru, and I am appreciative. She is my daughter, and one of my daughters, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
The dark-haired one.
The oldest daughter. Well, we're both dark-headed now.
The eldest, yeah.
Although I'm getting white hair.
You mean that's called, like, getting old? That's like in your 30s?
I'm starting to look like you.
Yeah,
even more.
No, you got a long way to go. Long way to go. So, anyway.
Well, good news.
What?
Good news.
Yeah?
Our dealership cat is still alive.
Dealership cat.
Yeah, our dealership cat. So, we live...
What color is that cat?
It's black.
Okay.
And we have a lot of animals that end up on this property. We're at the sort of the bottom of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they end up here before they get to the bypass, thank goodness.
Well, they like Fords and Nissans.
That. We have rescued rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
We've rescued cats. And we have... I've found the homes of at least 3 or 4 dogs. But this dealership cat has stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid black.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly. Likes to sleep under and around vehicles. And Audra, my sister...
Doesn't eat wires on cars, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Somebody's feeding it. I think our receptionist is feeding it.
Uh-huh.
She's known to do that.
Right.
But Audra was afraid that the cat was no longer with us. You're dinging.
I'm good with that as long as we don't have to take it home, because that would not go over well.
Right. But the cat was just sleeping.
Okay.
So, as of today... The black cat is still alive.
Well, it's not a bad idea to have a cat around a car dealership these days because of the wiring issues that we've had. We had another customer come in where a mouse has been feeding, or mice.
Mice.
Mises.
Mm-hmm.
Have been feeding on their wires. Modern cars have wiring that is coated with a soy-based plastic coating.
Yummy.
And when it gets hot, as I've said in the past, it apparently smells like vanilla, and mice like vanilla. So might not be a bad idea if you get a new car, put it in a garage and set some traps.
Or get a cat.
Or get a cat.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take our cat, because
don't
we need
take
it.
Our cat. I like that cat.
We need it. We need our cat to protect our inventory. Never thought I would say that. Yes, and sometimes customers need people to watch after them after they've bought the car, right, Abby? You
yes.
ran into a situation. You want to explain what was going on?
Well, we had a customer that was calling us. They had purchased a vehicle from us, and they were wondering, had they bought extended warranties? They vaguely remembered an explanation from the finance manager, but because it's such an overwhelming and exciting process, people frequently forget sort of what goes on in the finance office. They will sign the papers and go on until they have a failure of some sort with their vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and they get shown a large bill. So in this situation, I just want to make sure that people realize that, number one, your selling dealer is always going to have that information for you, what you purchased in the finance office. They should give it to you willingly and easily. They give you a hard time. They definitely shouldn't do that.
Well, you should have the documents in your glove box.
You should have the documents, but that very rarely happens. And some dealers don't give you all of your paperwork.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
This is what I have learned, at least. So, number one, your selling dealer should be able to tell you whatever you purchased. Number two, something else that you need to remember. Dealerships don't necessarily communicate some of this information with each other. And sometimes departments within the dealership don't communicate the information across departments. So, for example, if you purchase something in the finance office, but you go to the selling dealership and the service department doesn't have it in their computer,
mm-hmm.
that you purchased an extended warranty. That happens a lot as well. It is, unfortunately, in that situation, your responsibility as the buyer to let the service advisor know that you've purchased an extended warranty.
Now, you would think if you paid, $2,000 for something that you would remember it. But, when you're talking about a $40,000, $50,000 vehicle purchase and a lot of stuff was going on when you bought the car and you were all excited about it and you decided to, maybe you financed the car and your payments are an extra $15, $20 a month because you bought an extended warranty. And you just kind of lost track of it,
mm-hmm.
and it was 3 years ago. because the factory warranty covered everything up to this point. So you just got to remember. Now, if you bought a factory warranty from, like, let's say you bought a Toyota and you bought a Toyota branded warranty, or you bought a Nissan and you bought a Nissan branded warranty, that is going to show up in the system, right?
It should, yes. Okay, right. There are always situations that can arise. So just remain informed on what you have. Keep the copy in your vehicle. Save the name of the warranty company in your cell phone. Because what that dealership will have to do is get a hold of your extended warranty company and get approval for the repairs to be paid for by the warranty company. So yeah. If you say, well, I bought an extended warranty, but I don't know who it's through.
And again, it's not really a warranty.
Right. Yes.
It's a service contract, right. It's like insurance.
Well, yes. Okay. But if you can keep track of your paperwork, number one, if you lose your paperwork, like I said, the dealership should always have that on hand. But you will need to know the name of your service contract company so that the dealership can get approval for the repairs.
Right. Now, if you're in the Moab Desert in Utah and you break down and you end up getting towed to a dealership and they don't have any record of your warranty, you know, they could give you a hard time as far as whether you'd pay for it. But most warranty companies will issue a like a Visa card or something they won't give it to you, but they will, when you call in for a claim, they will give that mom and pop service station or whatever out in Moab
authorization,
a credit card authorization, yes, to pay for the claim.
Yes.
Now, I know that's true with a lot of aftermarket warranties. I wonder if Ford and Nissan and Toyota and all of those do the same. I'm sure they probably do.
Service contract repairs are generally approved and paid for by a credit card.
Okay.
After
good.
You've paid your deductible.
Deal.
Yep. But just something to know.
Yeah, it's important that you know what you bought and what you paid for. Now, also, it's important to know that for another reason. If you trade your vehicle or if you sell your vehicle, and maybe you've already paid it off, maybe you paid it off early, but you had a service contract that was 5 years and it's only been 3 years. So you have a warranty that is cancelable, right, Ab?
You do.
So how do you go about canceling a warranty and getting some money back?
Well, you will get a prorated amount from your selling dealership.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back to where you purchased the vehicle and get the information, give the information to them, proof that you have either traded or paid off your vehicle. They often cannot cancel products like that, mm-hmm, service contracts, gap insurance, without proof that you have paid off the vehicle or traded it. Because
they want to send the money to the lender.
Otherwise, they would send the money to the bank. And I had that conversation with a customer this morning who, mm-hmm, was confused why he needed to send me paperwork mm-hmm, to cancel gap insurance. And I just told him I could cancel this, but if you totaled that vehicle and you still owed the bank for it, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So, and if I had paid him,
yeah,
instead of paying the bank.
Right.
So,
right.
It's just... you can call the dealership. Sometimes I've heard stories of dealerships being difficult to deal with in regards to cancellations.
No.
Yes. Because they are turning around and cutting a check for something that they initially made money on.
Yep.
So a lot of times you can run into some reluctance, but just stay firm, fair, and friendly, and you will get your refund.
Before you finalize a deal at another dealership, let's say you bought it from dealership A, and you had bought a warranty an extended service contract from dealership A, and you're trading with dealership B, but you knew you had a refund coming, but you weren't sure the amount. And then you were going to turn around and use that money as down payment on the other car. You better make sure you know what you're going to get. And sometimes they have cancellation fees, do they not?
Well, yes, and most of the time, there's not going to be that quick of a turnaround on a cancellation.
Yeah.
Because you're going through multiple companies to get your refund. Here we say anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks.
And stay on them, right, Abby?
Yes. Yep.
Because you might become, you know.
You can fall through the cracks. You know, some will do it intentionally and some, I mean, you know, accidents happen, but.
Yeah, cash flow management, that's what they call it. Yeah, trying to manage your cash. And so that they can hold on to it as long as possible. So,
but we have hoops that we have to jump through that protect you as a consumer, yeah, when it comes to canceling things. So, and we have to wait on follow the proper chain of command to cancel these. So be patient with your dealer as well when they're trying to get these things canceled for you.
And as usual, whenever you're dealing with a business and you're calling on the phone or whatever, make sure you get the name of the person that you talk to and the date. You know, make notes. Sometimes I recommend recording the conversation. I know some people don't like that, but if you call them on a, you know, home phone and you have your iPhone or something like that, you can record the conversation. Is that legal in the state of Tennessee?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is legal to record a conversation that at least as long as at least one party knows that there's a recording going on. You do not have to disclose it to the other party.
You just can't wiretap on it.
Matter of fact, Abby, I'm recording your conversation right now, but okay. You know it. Okay. So you feel comfortable with that right now, don't
yeah.
you? Plus, I'm your dad, and you better feel comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
Okay, thanks. We'll take our first break and be back here in a minute. Okay, welcome back to this limited edition of My Car Guru, because Abby is here. Whenever Abby is here, it is limited.
It is limited.
Because I limit you on what you can say. I didn't say you could say anything.
Okay,
no, I'm just kidding. You can. I'm not that way. Am I that? I'm not that way.
No.
I didn't think so. We're going to talk a little bit about something that Abby has a little bit of experience with. She used to own one. Well, used to drive one.
I paid for it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, that's true, you did. This was a college
car? This was after college.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is a diesel car, mm-hmm. car with a diesel engine.
I did. I had a Volkswagen turbo diesel.
Yeah.
Jetta.
Six okay.
speed.
So tell me if you, and I know you don't know the answers to these questions.
Okay.
I'm not trying to humiliate you or anything.
Wouldn't be the first
but,
one.
So what did you notice different about the diesel when you were driving a car with a diesel engine?
Let's remember that at the time I did not work at a car dealership, okay? So my car knowledge was little.
Limited.
Limited.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I had to use a different type of fuel.
Hmm, interesting. So instead of putting gas, I'm glad you never put gasoline in your diesel engine because it would have made it
I embarrassed die. Myself
yeah.
By thinking that I had to go to where the trucks filled up one
okay.
time.
So you really, yeah.
And all a right. very friendly truck driver pointed me on the other side of the gas station
okay.
and didn't laugh at me. I got a much better gas mileage.
No, you got much better fuel mileage.
Fuel mileage, okay. That's really my main.
Did you know anything? Notice anything about the sound of it?
Well, not necessarily.
Did you notice anything about the power of it?
Well, it was a turbo,
mm-hmm.
so I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was also, you know, there were multiple things about that vehicle that were different than any other vehicle mm-hmm. I had. It was mm-hmm. a turbo, it was a manual, and it was a diesel.
Well, if you go to Europe and you spend any time, you're going to notice that the vast majority of vehicles in Europe are diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons for that is diesel fuel costs less. Doesn't anymore,
mm-hmm.
but it did. For many, many years, diesel was less, and there were a lot of reasons to use diesel fuel because they got better economy
I
overall.
Loved that car. I got like 45 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of 50 plus with yeah. diesel engines. But then there was something called Dieselgate.
I remember that.
And that's where a professor at the University of West Virginia, or I think they call it West Virginia University. It's where my parents graduated from school. But a guy was doing some investigating, and he was in a engineering or mechanical engineering department and really did a lot of work on diesels and on emissions testing. He saw something very unusual in the testing numbers for diesel engines, specifically with the Volkswagen company. And he saw that they were spewing out more chemicals than particulates and other bad things out the exhaust pipe than what they were advertised to, and really exceeding the EPA requirements for that. And so he reported it. And it has since cost Volkswagen billions and billions of dollars because they ended up having to buy back a bunch of diesel engines because they were cheating. They were cheating on the emission standards. What would happen is when they tested the vehicles, when the EPA tested the vehicles, they had the computer adjust and different programming in there that whenever it was It knew when it was on a dynamometer, and it also knew when it was being tested somehow. It was
cheaters
clairvoyant.
Never win.
It was clairvoyant. So it knew. And so when it got back out on the road, it would automatically adjust so it would get better fuel economy.
Now, when they do those fuel tests, is it like one out of a batch?
More than one. Yeah.
But then when they would go to their emissions approval in different states, how'd they pass those?
Good question, which I don't have the answer to. Mm-hmm. But I know this, that it cost Volkswagen a whole lot of money because they were cheating. And it really was the death blow to the diesel engine in this country.
I loved that. I've had several.
Not for full-size trucks, now,
right.
Mind you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've had several Volkswagens. I've had a Passat, and I've had two
Let's
Jettas.
Not talk good about Volkswagens, because we're a Nissan Ford dealer.
I know, but this is, you're honest. You're the guru. So,
yeah, that's true.
I can violate
that rule, but you cannot.
I was happy with my Volkswagens.
Yeah. I've always loved Volkswagen. I've got a 1957 model.
Yeah, I was happy with them. But, that was a really good car, and I hate that it went down like that, because I think they had been a reliable brand for so long, and once you do something like that, then you just appear to be really dishonest.
Right. Well, diesel engines have a lot of advantages over gasoline engines. Do you know what the main difference is in diesel versus gas, Abby? Huh? No, she's shaking her head violently right now. She doesn't want me to, upstage her any. Diesel engines, Abby, use compression ignition as opposed to spark ignition. So a gasoline engine has spark plugs.
Yes.
And they fire off a spark once the air and fuel is compressed in the cylinder, and it fires off, and that's what provides the force to push the piston down and create, convert linear motion into rotational motion. I know that's just unbelievable that I know that. But anyway, then the diesel engine uses compression. And so there is no spark plug. It's just compression, which creates heat, and then the fuel is injected. Now, diesel engines are more expensive to build, but they are much more efficient, provide a lot more torque. So that's why you see F-250s, the big trucks, big diesel trucks, big equipment, all of those are diesels because of the additional power that they're able to generate using diesel fuel. There's more energy in an equivalent amount of diesel fuel versus gasoline. If you put diesel fuel in a gasoline engine, so you accidentally put diesel fuel in the tank, the car will start to run, then it will sputter, and then it will shut off because it can't burn diesel fuel. But it won't destroy your engine.
Not so the other way around.
The other way around is bad, bad, bad. If you put gasoline in a diesel engine and you let it go, it will destroy. First, it destroys the fuel injection system itself, okay? And then once it gets into the engine, bad things happen, and you may have to put a whole motor in it. We've had to do that a lot. People get, they get confused by the color of the nozzles, I guess.
And I've seen it happen where the gas station messed up.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the fillers are different, so the filler neck on the vehicle is a different size. And so, I don't know.
I think it would make it a lot easier. I noticed that there's a gas station around here somewhere where it's opposite. I think one gas station has the green on the diesel.
Yeah.
And then the other gas station, they flip it. And I think it would be easier if it were universally green.
Okay, well, maybe they'll pass a law about that.
Abby's law.
Green is for diesel. Black is for gasoline. Mm-hmm. Then there will be no more confusion. But I don't think they like to put green because green is eco, right?
Right.
So green is supposed to be good for the environment.
And rolling coal isn't.
That's right. So, things that diesel engines tend to go a long time, as far as miles is concerned, you can get 250,000, 300,000 miles out of a diesel engine most of the time. But still, they have to be maintained, and you have to be very careful with your filter changes on a diesel engine. There are and diesels have really gotten quiet, too. I mean, they used to be a whole lot louder than they are now, and now on an F-250 with a diesel engine, you're standing beside it, you can actually have a conversation.
Mine kind of purred.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the kitty cat.
Like our cat.
Like our black cat out there on the lot.
We just named it.
What? Diesel?
Diesel.
There you go. There you go. The fuel is quite different. You know, both fuels come from crude oil that's naturally found in the earth. When crude oil is processed at refineries, it can be separated into several different kinds of fuels, including gasoline, jet fuel,
mm-hmm.
Kerosene, and, of course, diesel. If you ever have compared diesel fuel and gasoline, you know that they are very different. Certainly the smell is different. Diesel fuel is heavier and oilier. It evaporates much more slowly. When you get it on your hands, it's harder to wash off. Diesel fuel evaporates more slowly because it's heavier, and it contains more carbon atoms and longer chains than gasoline does. It takes less refining to create diesel fuel, then why the heck does it cost more? Who knows? It's just pure capitalism. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a second. Okay, so if you want more torque and you want more pulling power, Abby, what kind of engine do you want?
Diesel.
That's right. And if you want better just overall fuel economy, you know, if you're pulling, you're going to want a diesel truck. If you aren't pulling something, then gasoline, and pretty soon electric are going to be our choices. You know, the new Ford F-150 Lightning is the all-electric vehicle. Now, you know, one of the things they're talking about is going to have about 400 miles of range, which is pretty good.
But what about when you're towing?
When you're towing, it's going to go down dramatically.
Right.
Just like it does with a car. I know when I pull with my gasoline F-150, it'll go from 20 miles to the gallon to 12. And that's about what a diesel engine will do as well. So anyway, thought we'd educate you a little bit about diesel engines and figure out a name for our black cat.
Diesel it is.
Which we have done. So, hey, anytime you need any assistance with a car question or whatever, feel free to call me 423-552-2020 or send me a text message. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow. Say bye, Abby.
Bye.
Okay, we'll see you then.